Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. I am Taylor, and we are continuing our series, and we're already cracking up this morning. We have a special episode joined by two special guests and friends. First, we're joined by founding pastor Rob Campbell. Rob, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you, my friend. Taylor, good to be here.
And we're also joined by global missions partner, church planner, extraordinaire, so many things we could use to describe you. Patrick Mpandi is in the house from Zimbabwe. Patrick, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, y'all have both been on the podcast separately, but not together. So this is exciting, special moment in time as we continue our series on the one another's. Patrick, you did a great job on unity, and I'd love to go behind the scenes. This is a real casual conversation we have here. I'd love to go behind the scenes as Jose asked you, you said, hey, I'm in town, it'd be great. And then Jose's like, hey, would you be willing to speak on the one another? So I'd love to hear your thoughts on kind of what led you to pick the passages and just even the message that you gave for us.
It took me a long time trying to put it together, just thinking, I don't know what is expected of this. But of course, Pastor Jose had told me that you guys were doing a series. So I prayed and said, Lord, give me the right stuff. Those guys there, man, I don't know what to expect. But then God helped me to put it together, and it took me a while. But I was confident that it was going to help somebody, especially those that were not taking naps. And
yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I guess for me, the connection, whenever I come here, it's like, okay, I'm home now. I'm safe. Yeah. So I really enjoyed it.
Oh, well, we'll get into the message itself in a second, but Rob, would love to put you in the spotlight for a second and share kind of how y'all two got connected. I feel like there's such a rich history there that's fun, back from 1994. So just kind of what, and I love, Patrick, what you shared in kind of honoring Rob and the leadership lessons he taught you. So I'd love to start by just hearing kind of y'all's personal story of how y'all got connected.
Yes, I liked your line Sunday morning, Taylor, that you were 1 year old back when I met Patrick in 1994. That was classic. I was introduced to Patrick and his wife, Gladys, by a dear church member at the time, actually a charter member of Cypress Creek Church. Her name was Catherine Duffy, and her husband was Walker. And they introduced me to Patrick, and we started to get to know each other. And that led to numerous visits from Patrick to Cypress Creek Church. And then I think I visited Zimbabwe maybe 12, 13 times since 1994. But I would say that he is a dear friend, definitely my brother in Christ. We've seen each other develop and grow and raise kids and now with grandkids. And so it's been a very life-giving relationship. Yeah.
That's awesome. Patrick, just expounding a little bit on what you shared on Sunday, but just Rob's influence and Rob's leadership and just teaching you. I love how you shared that he shared that you were working too hard.
Right.
There's other people to delegate.
He really is a laid-back guy. And initially, I didn't take him serious. I said, there's no inspiration. Rob, come on. Wake up a little bit. So when he talks, he's slow and kind of looking at your face and you think, who's this guy? But anyway, bottom story short, he really inspired me because I was kind of macro-managing things. You know how you feel, if I don't do it, it won't be done, or they'll do it wrong. And he was watching all this. And so we're heading back to the airport, and he said, I want to sit on the front of the car. So he sat with me, and he began to pour his heart out, and I was just listening, thinking, oh, okay, that really makes sense. And ever since I implemented those strategies, now I'm here. I will stay here, not going to Zimbabwe at all, but there's nothing to worry about. That's the coolest thing that was really a blessing to me, because I didn't know that could happen, that you are away and you don't, you know. So I structured the church in a brilliant way, and people are accountable to each other, and even when I'm there, I'm not there, it doesn't make any difference anymore, which is a good feeling. So I'm really honored to be a partner to this church, you know, to be honest.
One of my favorite things, I got connected to the church through Crosstalk back when I was a freshman in 2011. So in the last 13 years, one of my favorite things to learn about Cyprus is just the rich history of global mission partners in particular, Rob, just the way that you've developed and invested and just continued these relationships. And so it's neat to just see that on Sundays, Patrick, whether it's you up on Sunday or just hearing from other partners. For someone that's maybe newer to the church, just maybe we've had a lot of new family members come in the last few years. What was so significant in your heart about, I mean, it's a small town church in Wimberley, Texas. How in the world are you connected to so many global mission partners? What is so significant about being connected to the global church?
Well, early on, I wanted to develop a mindset at Cypress Creek that we were missions-minded, not only locally, but globally. And so that certainly took root in the people. I think the leadership, not only the overseers, but also the pastors, supported that throughout the years. And ironically, most of our ministry partners, we met and have met through church members. And so it's through relational connections. And I really like that idea, and it's been profitable, I think, for our ministry partners and also for Cypress Creek. I would also say that we don't try to do 100 international ministry partners or local partners, but we concentrate on, shall we say, a few and do those well. So we like it for our relationship with our, especially our international ministry partners, to be symbiotic, where it's not just about us giving and them receiving, but also, you know, it's a two-way relationship. We like for them to come here to Wimberley and not feel like they have to speak or go to this community group and that community group all the time, but they get time for rest and relaxation as well. So I hope that answers your question.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's jump into the message itself, Patrick, because you had a great message, and I loved how you shared just your own personal stories and just why this is so significant, but even comparing cultures and just the way that I think back to the story you gave about coming to America, hearing the stories of families that are separated from their kids or just having distance there, and just how you were like, is this normal? And just wanting to kind of, so whether it's unity in the home, unity in the church, and just how important that is for as we model these one another's in scripture. I think my first question to you, both of y'all, is just how do we, y'all have done ministry for decades, and I'm only 4 years into this, and it's just mind-blowing to think about just how much faithfulness both of y'all have shown in each of the ways in which God has called you. How do you maintain just even your own unity as far as when there's so many distractions, so many opportunities out there available to you, even maybe sometimes your own pride that may say, hey, I'd better, you know, forget the flock. I want to just go do this on my own. How do you wrestle with that as you continue to faithfully obey God and what he has for you?
I think you have to be intentional in everything that you do. You just have to think about others, you think about your family, you think about, and when you pray for your family, it's like you're praying for the entire family in the world, because it's a personal relationship that you are praying about. So it's not easy to raise kids, but you persevere, and like I said on Sunday, that our kids, when they were going to school here, we had to debrief them because there were a lot of things that were brand new for them. Mm. And every time they came home, they would say, you won't believe what happened at school today. Dad, do you have time? And I knew that, you know, there's something shocking that they've seen or heard. So I think that helped us to develop serious relationship with our kids to make sure that they are protected from other things that may creep into the family. So, in a nutshell.
Yeah. Rob, what would you add to that?
Let me just comment on what Patrick just said. We don't have time for it in this podcast, but one of the high points of being here for 27 years as the pastor was when the body of Christ called Cypress Creek Church rallied and rescued the Impande family from Zimbabwe. I wish you would have shared that Sunday morning. Maybe you did in the service I wasn't in, but that was an amazing time, I know, for your family and also for Cypress. And I think three of your kiddos graduated from Wimberley High, was it? Mm-hmm. Three?
Yes. Yeah.
So, but I would dovetail into answering your question. I can't remember what you asked, Taylor, but this is on my mind. When you talk about staying in unity with your family and others, when I was listening to Patrick, I began to think of, I was listening, Patrick, but you know, I can multitask to some degree. I began to think about the fruit of the Spirit. And really, if you root yourself in the Spirit of God, then, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is singular. It's really love, and it's manifested in joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. And so when you begin to feel disgruntled or you want to conjure up disunity among familial relationships or relationships within the church, reach back to the fruit of the Spirit and realize those are great characteristics. You probably heard this, you know, said before. I didn't make it up. They're great characteristics of the very life of Jesus Christ. So reach back to those and just be reminded what the Spirit of God looks like in you.
That's so good. That's so good. Question for both of y'all here. When you think about threats that may be trying to attack unity, we think about this could be in your family, this could be in the church, just in your own personal lives. What are threats that you've noticed, maybe even just culturally or societally? Like, what are things we can be mindful of or watchful for? What are threats that can kind of maybe just very subtly and yet try to divide us from each other?
Well, I think Patrick said it well Sunday morning. I think specifically he was talking about your spouse is not the enemy. Who you're married to is not the enemy. Your family member is not the enemy. I know many who've listened are listening to this podcast have heard that before. But that's an important point. The enemy is the enemy. And then diversity is not the enemy of unity. Let me say that again. Diversity is not the enemy of unity. Just because someone's not like us or think like us does not mean we should go against them or be against them. It's really the beauty of Christ. It's really the beauty of the spiritual gifts that he's given us. As we all work together, it's the building up of the body of Christ. So, Patrick?
I think sometimes the problem is we have this ego that you must be like me. And if you're not aligning with me, then there's something wrong with you. But Christ then says that accept people as I have accepted them, which means when you and I didn't know anything about God, he didn't say clean up before you come to church, mm-hmm. but he loved us. So his love is what caused us to be here. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard as human beings to let people live their lives. We always want to say they are not in line. Mm-hmm. I wish they could live like me. And mm-hmm. and that's what causes strife even in the church. You know, all those people, they're no good. Simply because they're not aligning with them. Everybody was created individually and autonomous. And only Christ can change people to align with him, not us, not me. You mm-hmm. know? So when we come from that angle, then we have to understand that it's between that person and God.
Yeah, no, that's so good. I think about something just both of y'all shared in the sense that when we fix our eyes on Christ, the big things can remain the big things and the little things remain the little things. Because mm-hmm. I think in my experience, oftentimes I can get so worked up about small things and something, a small comment someone made or a comment they didn't say. And so I think to y'all's point, when you're focused on the cross, when you're focused on the gospel, it puts things in perspective. It really does help make sure to y'all's point here, we're on the same team. And so it's like the battle is not between flesh and blood here. And so being able to keep that in sync.
Yeah, when I look back on my undergraduate career, which was, you know, absolutely brilliant, but I could, you know, comment on that for about 2 minutes. But I remember three lessons, and that's it.
Okay.
All right. One was from Dr. Newberry that taught us, how many of you are married? Raise the hands. You know, hardly anybody in class is married. How many will be married someday? You know, a large percentage raised their hands. He said, when your wife comes back from the beauty parlor and she asks, how does my hair look? Make sure you tell her it looks marvelous. Okay, that's one thing I learned. And these are the two most dynamic lessons I learned in my undergraduate career being a political science major. Everyone will not like you, and everyone is not like you.
Hmm. That's good.
And remember that in the context of unity, because that will set you free. And also, I digress into another thing I thought about when Patrick was speaking Sunday, and that is God has a clear, distinct, biblical governing order in our lives. Do we adhere to spiritual authority or not? And so in the church family, you know, we are an elder-led church family, and we see that reflected in the scriptures. And so if you are in angst or if you are wondering in your mind, you know, any issue that you're toiling with in regards to how the overseers are leading or pastors of Cyprus are leading, then that's an opportune time for you to go to your quote-unquote favorite pastor, favorite overseer, and have a discussion. If you're not doing that, then you're probably operating in the flesh and talking with others about your issues, spreading stuff, you know, potentially gossip and friction, faction, that doesn't need to be there. Handle it biblically according to Matthew 18 and Galatians 6:1.
So good. That actually, I want to give a shout out to Cecilia Belvin and Rhonda Patterson, because going through the PMT 101 booklet, they kind of have, you want to be on the prayer ministry team, or even just, it's available several times throughout the year. There'll be just kind of an open call for anyone that wants to go to this equipping. And they take that very serious, where in there is talking about, because as a prayer team, you're usually given kind of inside information, confidential information about someone's prayer request. And how easy is it to kind of just, even as Christians, we kind of can mask gossip as a prayer request and be like, oh, pray for so-and-so whose wife is doing this and son is doing that, you know, and next thing you know, you're just gossiping instead of actually praying. And so I love how they really have no room for that at all in their time and their team together. And they take that very serious, where it's like, no, you take that to the Lord, or you take that to leadership, like Rob, like you just shared, when there's questions on that. Patrick, I'd love to ask you, and then Rob, get your thoughts on this too. You have seen both cultures as far as growing up and even still continue to minister in Zimbabwe, and also living at a time in America and having those two connections. When you look at the American culture, particularly the American church, and this may be a loaded question, but are there things that you feel like the American church is doing well? And then are there areas that you think need improvement, or at least need to be on our radar as a church?
It's hard to say, but because I have two homes now.
Right, right.
And I have to be careful how I comment on that.
Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah. The American church is doing good in terms of reaching out. They have different programs, which are very nice programs. But what I'm concerned about is commercialization of the gospel. It's like you have to do certain things for you to be saved. And it involves not only moral side of life, but it involves finance. So it's like they connect your relationship with God with money. I've seen it over and over again, and that if you give money, so much money, then God will do this for you. Now, so from the culture of Zimbabwe, it's not like that. Whether they have money or they don't have money, God is God. God is God of love. You can't connect God with resources. So I find that it's a bit very strange. if an African came in the church in America and listened for the first time, they would be disturbed when they hear those kind of gospels, even on TV, on radio. You hear that when you give this, God will open the door of heaven and start pouring money in your lap. So that's the commercialization that I'm talking about, that I think the church is commercialized to some extent. Not all the churches, but
sure.
You see that. I don't know in next generations how that will go. Will it continue or it's going to stop? Because every generation comes with a different revelation altogether. So, but one thing that I'm excited about is that there are a lot of young people in America that are coming into the kingdom of God. And that is so impressive, because young people, they are the future of the nation. So Pamela and my son-in-law, they used to go to Upper Room in Dallas. And it's a church that has got young generation only. Maybe the range will be from high school to having one kid or two kids. And packed, rejoicing. And we senior citizens, I think we get excited and say, yes, yes, they are bringing it home. I mean, you know, so it's very encouraging. Whereas when you go to other countries, you find that young people are disappearing. And it's so disturbing when there are no young people in the church. I travel in America preaching in churches. I see some churches, and I know that these are the last group here. They're going to close these doors and sell the building or something. Because young people, I guess, to align them with senior citizens is the greatest challenge, mm-hmm. because they are coming from another world, and the senior citizens have lived another world. Their expectations are not matching with the young people of today. So that bridge, I believe, it has to be connected very well, that the transition will be smooth. For us, I think, at our age, we look forward to see that more, that transition, that we in Zimbabwe we call them the 2K, meaning the 2,000 kids coming over to this time. How can we handle them so that they don't feel the bump on connecting with the church? Mm-hmm. And she can be a witness. I mean, it's not easy just to connect just like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we pray for you guys.
Thank you.
Very much. And Cypress Creek is unique, though. I must say that this transition blows my mind, because it's just amazing to see. And I'm really excited here.
Well,
learning a lot.
Well, that's encouraging. That is encouraging. And Rob, I think about the culture. I can't imagine a time when I've been in Cyprus where the focus hasn't been on who's next, who's the future generation, and really discipling and raising them up. So I love to hear that, Patrick, because that's neat. Because in some ways I think, oh, well, surely that's everywhere. But it really is neat that that's a priority. Rob, that was something God put on your heart early on, as far as to empower and entrust, to delegate, as we talked about at the beginning. So what was so significant about that, and just seeing the fruits of that now?
Yeah, I think I don't have much to add to what Patrick said. Unfortunately, it's indeed, in my estimation, he's right that thousands and thousands of young people are entering into the kingdom of God in America, North America, and beyond. Of course, around the world, we don't hear about that a lot, but it indeed is happening. At the same time, churches in America are losing what we call the emerging generation like crazy, because of a lot of different reasons. But your original question was something about, you know, things in the American church that you are noticing.
Yes.
And I know we're drawing near the end of our podcast, because I see you fidgeting immensely over there, which our audience can't see. So let me just sum it up, even though I talk slow like Patrick's already indicted me for. I'm most concerned of the attractional model of the American church versus a discipleship-focused church. An attractional model is easy. You get a cool band, some smoke machines, loud music, a funny speaker, and you can fill up a worship center. There's not really much to it. And I've just described a lot of churches in America. They're a mile wide and an inch deep. And it greatly concerns me. And I would much rather be a part of a discipleship-oriented, focused church that is genuinely concerned about the health and vitality of its members. And so I think that's something that needs to be on our radar screen here and across North America for sure.
Yeah, that's so good. I think not just here in America, but across the world, just making sure that that remains the focus. Okay, y'all are giving me a hard time. I got time for one more question though, because this is super important. So we'll make time for this. But Patrick, for those that are listening that heard you on Sunday that would love to just pray for you and just know what God is doing in and through you, how can we as a church support you and be praying for you and the work that's going on in Zimbabwe and the surrounding countries?
I think the main thing that we need is for God to raise more leaders who can train other leaders. That model never fails. So we need prayers in that line that God will develop a lot of leaders in the generation that we have now. We are not going to focus much on big numbers at church, but we want to focus on how can we develop these leaders and make them the best that they can be able to reach their communities.
That's so good. Well, thank you, Patrick, again, for your amazing word on Sunday. Thank you, Rob, for joining us for this conversation. It's great to be a part of, and we hope you'll tune in next week.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.